Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode one of our 10 episode series of She Leads, the Voice of Women in Power. Today's episode is titled, Why Women Lead, Leading is Not a Trend, It's a Revolution. Welcome to She Leads, the Voice of Women in Power. I'm Shakara J, your host of Strength and Struggle podcast. I'm a speaker, a leader, a learner, and a lifelong advocate for what happens when women step into power without apology. Today, I want to start not with data or with strategy or even with stats, but I want to start about women in leadership positions. Though trust me, we will get there. But instead, I want to begin with one question. What if women leading isn't a new idea? It's a returning truth. Let's ponder on that for a second. What if women leading isn't a new idea? It's a returning truth. If we think back to it, women have been leading since the very beginning. Even when we were not able to have our own voice, told that we had to be housewives, raising babies as if that is the only reason we were put on this earth, even not being able to get bank accounts or own a house without having a husband. Yeah. The older days where you were forced into marriage. You were promised to a man despite what you thought, and that was your place. That's what I'm referring to. But when you think about that, even when we were in those times, women still led. Because 8 times out of 10, and sometimes it's 9 times out of 10, behind every successful man, black, white, red, Hispanic, Asian, Chinese, Japanese, African, Jamaican, I don't care. Behind every great man, there has always been some woman in his life, whether it be his mother, his sister, a cousin, a wife, a girlfriend, or a daughter. There's always a woman somewhere in that line. And I'm going to tell you why I said what I said. Women, we are automatic nurturers. It's in our DNA. That's what we do. We nurture. And in that nurturing, we sometimes tend to dumb ourselves down, if that makes sense. We want the men in our lives to feel superior, to feel as though they have more knowledge than women. That's been since the beginning of time. That takes skill. It takes skill to sit back and watch your husband, your brother, your father, your uncles make some of the most crazy decisions, and you know that we can't climb that hill because there's going to be a lot of holes and there are snakes and other things up there waiting on us. You know that already. You've already recognized that. But as soon as you try to say something, they look at you crazy. So what do we do as women? We sit back and just say, okay, that has happened since the beginning. Of course, times have changed now because this is not the 50s. This is not the 60s. This is not the 40s. This is not even the 80s. Matter of fact, I take that back. This is not even the 2000s, guys. I can't forget about the 90s because I skipped the 90s. But this is not about generations ago. I was born in 1984 and I had my first child in 2002. My son will be 23 years old this year. And the world is not even the same place it was 23 years ago. And it's insane to think, man, 2002 was a whole decade ago. A whole two decades ago, really. It's insane, right? It kind of drives you crazy to think about that. So with that saying of, what if women leading is a new idea? I'm sorry. What if women leading isn't a new idea? It's a returning truth. I want you to think about that for a minute, because my interpretation, or what I believe that it is saying, is that women never became leaders, as most like to label us now today. This is a new trend. Now women are leading. Now women are being in charge of things. Women have always been in charge. We just didn't have the titles. We just didn't get the respect. Mind you, we still don't get the same respect. We just didn't get the office space. Same thing. Still don't get the office space sometimes. But women have always been leading. It's not new. It's definitely not new. It is definitely the truth. And now the truth is coming full circle. Or as they like to say, spinning the block, right? Let me know what you guys think about that one with that question. So moving on. Power perspective. Let me take you back to a moment. I was sitting in a meeting. You know the kind. Big table, mostly men, a couple of women, quiet, calculating. I had an idea. I said it. Complete silence. 3 minutes later, a man repeated my idea. And suddenly, the room wakes up. Nods, praise, applause. And I'm left wondering, did I even speak at all? I'm sitting here and I'm like, maybe I'm on mute. Nope, I'm not on Teams. Maybe my microphone's off. Nope, I'm not on the stage right now. I know I just said what he just said and nobody listened. But now that he said it and took my idea, he gets the praise. Common, right? Maybe you had a moment. Maybe 100 of them. In my case, I've had 1,000 of them. Those type of moments come a dime a dozen. But here's the truth that I've come to learn. Leadership doesn't begin when others recognize you. It begins the moment you recognize yourself. I'll say that again. Leadership doesn't begin when others recognize you. It begins the moment that you recognize yourself. I'm going to go ahead and get that one a good one. A lot of people fail to realize, and we talk about it all the time. We've talked about it a couple times on my show. What you see in the mirror is what's important. Not what somebody else see, not what somebody expect, what you see. And that's the same thing with leadership. Leadership is not, oh, Shakara, you did a good job today. Now you're a leader. No, leadership is when I feel as though I have done the things that I need to do and I continue to set the mark and set the bar high and make my marks and set the bar high for achieving my goals, for educating and mentoring those under me, those to the left and right of me, and sometimes those above me. That's when I knew for a fact that I was a leader. When you can teach others. And the best type of leader is when you could definitely teach someone to replace you, because you're not going to always be in that position. And you have to pass on the wealth, because one day you will be gone and somebody is going to take that spot. But make sure it's somebody that you mentored. Because if I was to be out tomorrow, I need to ensure that someone could do my job as good as me, if not better. That's when I recognized that I'm a leader. It wasn't about my awards and my accolades, because if we're being honest, I've been in the Army 22 years, 22 years. And I don't own a single ARCOM, because I had leadership only by position, not by personality, and definitely not by their character. But I've had leadership through the years that felt it wasn't necessary to put me in for an award, even PCSing multiple times the way I did. I was always told, you did your job. When I sat there multiple times and I'm like, I didn't realize that my job was doing Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, Sue, Mary, and everybody else's job plus mine. I didn't realize that standing up a company as an E6 when nobody was assigned to the unit was just doing my job. I didn't realize that taking on an acting first sergeant, an acting sergeant major, acting everything that came my way was just doing my job. At first, I let it discourage me, because I'm like, I'm not even getting the recognition for the things that I do. But when I started having soldiers call me, when I started having people look to me for advice, when I started having people reach out and say, Sergeant Johnson, I need to talk to you, because nobody else is going to be honest with me like you will. That's when I realized I didn't need the accolades. I didn't need the awards. I didn't need the recognition, because my subordinates saw me as a leader, and I became the leader that they needed me to be in that time, in those moments. So, as women, we've been taught to wait. Wait for validation, wait for permission, wait for a title. I feel like that one hit home, so I'm going to pause right there for a minute to let some people soak in what I just said. Matter of fact, I'm going to say it one more time. As women, we have been taught to wait, to seek for validation, to seek permission, and to seek a title. That's not always what we need. And that's not always how you validate yourself or validate your work. I need y'all to remember that, okay? But this podcast isn't about waiting anymore. It's about claiming, building, shifting the ground beneath old power structures. This podcast is about mixing it up, y'all. In the words of K. Michelle, it's time to shake the table. Shake it. If you haven't been shaking the table, if you don't know how to shake the table, after we're done with this 10-part series, you're going to learn how to find your power and shake that table. So, lead with her, the takeaway lesson. So here's today's leadership lesson. Power isn't given. It's owned. Power isn't given. It's owned. You don't receive power just because you got put into a position or you obtained a degree. Or my favorite part, I used to be in a military sorority that I would not name, but people got into these different positions and felt that they were in power and that they were untouchable. Power is not given to you. For you to be able to step into these different positions and take ownership of what you're doing, be the leader that your subordinates and your followers and your coworkers may need, that's when you own it. That's when leadership is owned. Taking accountability, accepting accountability, understanding your flaws, understanding your faults, and learning from them. That is owning leadership, because great leaders own their mistakes and learn from their mistakes. Even in the dating world, I tell my best friend all the time, my philosophy of dating as a woman is always this. in your 20s, you're making all the crazy mistakes. That's when we putting things in our name and credit for these dudes and all of the crazy kind of mess, but we ain't gonna get into that. But your 20s is for you to make mistakes. Your 30s is from you to learn from your mistakes. In your 30s, you're supposed to be learning from what you did wrong in your 20s and trying to do better, trying to make a better you. In your 40s, that's when you implement the lessons you learn from your mistakes. So in your 40s, you're thinking, oh, nope, I fell for that before. I tried that one. I tried to do this so I wouldn't fall for that again. It still happened. This is what we're going to do now. Now you're implementing the lessons learned. In your 50s, you are now an advisor. You are advising those young ones behind you on what you learned, the mistakes you made, and how you implemented what you learned to the mistakes you made. That's my philosophy on growth. So understanding that you can't just be given power, and you definitely can't make people just respect you because you have a position. If you're not owning how to be an empathetic leader, how to be a transactional leader, how to be a transformational leader, how to just humble yourself overall, you're never going to own it. So that is one of the biggest lessons that a lot of people fail to realize. Leadership is not something that you can just get and now you have it. Leadership is something that you have to own by working for it. Owning it starts with language. I challenge you this week to listen to how often you say these words. Do you say, just checking in? Or, I might be wrong, but... So you hear how the tone in my voice changes for those two, right? Because the just checking in is the passive, I'm not really sure, or just letting you know, hey, it's just the just checking in that gives off, you're not a boss. You're not a boss. You don't know how to be assertive. You don't know how to own your space. Even going to the, I may be wrong, but you're questioning your authority now. Try removing the disclaimers. Just state your idea. Let your voice carry. So instead of just checking in, try something like, I'm here. Try something like, if you need anything, let me know, I'm in my office. Try something like, oh, just to let you know, I'm here today until 4 o'clock if you need anything. It's the assertiveness. It's commanding your presence and not questioning your presence. Instead of saying, I may be wrong, but make the statement. Correct me if I'm wrong. Or it can be something to the effect of, well, the last time I checked, this is what it said. Or my favorite, especially in the military, well, per AR, bloop, 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 it actually states such and such and such and such. Know what you're talking about and own what you're talking about. Own your space. I've been told a very long time by a lot of different people that I command a room and that's why people don't like me. And I still don't understand it. 41 years old, and I still don't get why people say that I command a room. Commanding a room to me is important. Commanding a room to me just means that you are 10 toes down and you stand on business on everything you say and you do. And even when I am wrong with command authority. And I'll correct it later after I realize that I'm wrong. But you will never, ever catch me say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't realize that. No, because if I thought that, then I'm going to stand on that. And then when I go and realize, oh, I was wrong, that's when I, if it was a loud situation, that's when I would loudly correct it. Because the same way you gave any type of disrespect or any correction is the same way that you should be going back and fixing it. If I pull a person to the side and I talk to them, then I'm going to pull them to the side again and tell them, I apologize, but I was incorrect. This is actually where you find it at. I apologize. I was incorrect. This is what I meant to say, but I misspoke. Own what you say when you say it. Like I always teach those who follow me, it is not what you say, but it's how you say it. What if we all learn how to stop living in those micro moments? Leadership lives in micro moments, not just boardrooms and titles. We all know. I hope that if you don't know and you're listening to learn instead of listening to judge. But Black women definitely know this word, microaggressions. My daughter, who is 19, has had to deal with microaggressions a lot lately. And me and her would have conversations about microaggressions all the time because I'm being sarcastic when I say this. My favorite microaggression is, oh my God, you have a pretty smile for a Black girl. Your skin is so pretty for a Black girl. And so when people give me those microaggressions, I've learned how to counter their microaggressions. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't know that because my skin is pretty that it meant that I couldn't be Black. I thought that we all had skin. Mine just has a little bit more melanin in it, but okay. Or I hit them with the, oh, for a white girl, you actually have all your teeth. I purposely do stuff like that because when people give you microaggressions, you have to know how to give that, return that microaggression in that same sense. And it might not even be something you actually believe in because I don't believe that stereotype. I don't. That any race of people doesn't have their teeth. I don't believe in that. But when people say ignorant things like that to me, I return it with a very professional, ignorant statement back. And then people snap it to, oh my goodness, I didn't mean it like that. And that's when I proceed to explain to them why what they said was offensive and a microaggression. Challenging the norm. So let's challenge the norm. Women need to lean in harder to succeed. What if the system wasn't designed for us to lean into, but to rebuild entirely? Sometimes when I do walk into a room and people give me the stares or start with the whispers, I look around, I take notice, and I leave. Or I do whatever I came there to do, and then I leave. Because obviously, some rooms are not meant for you. And that's fine. That's fine. Because this room is so small, and my aura is so, I say aura, my aura is so big. My light is so bright. That means that I just need to go to a bigger room. That means I just need to switch the crowd that I'm hanging around. It doesn't mean that I need to change me. It means I need to change my surroundings. For instance, a lot of women have left the corporate world because of pay gaps, discrimination, and all other type of things in regards to just being a woman in the workplace, especially in a corporate world. And they went on to begin their nonprofits, begin their small owned businesses, begin their Etsy shops, begin whatever. Women, a lot of women, and we're not going to get into statistics today, but a lot of women has reached a point where they're like, okay, I'm not good enough for you, but I'm good enough for me. So instead of leaning in to succeed, basically, and what we mean by leaning in is you are turning into what they want you to turn into for you to succeed. Oh, well, we don't like your natural hair. Maybe try to straighten it or something like that. And then that's when people start wearing more wigs to work. Oh, well, do you own a pantsuit? Like, we see you in skirts all the time. Maybe you should wear pants. People go out and buy pantsuits that are very expensive, by the way. Oh, well, our client didn't want any women present, but we still need you to do the project because you're the best one we have on our team. But this guy is going to handle it for you. That's what I mean by leaning in. You're leaning so far in that you begin to lose yourself because you're trying to please everybody else. So instead of leaning in, step back. Step back and rebuild. Rebuild who you are. Rebuild what you want, what you need, what you desire. And you'll be a lot happier. That's what a lot of women have been doing lately. In the last, I think I would probably say the last 2 decades, actually. Women have stepped away from where they are not welcome, in a sense, and began to build their own empires. Women are not underqualified. We're undercredited, underpromoted, and too often underestimated. Underpromoted, underqualified, and underestimated. Sorry, I said that backwards. Women are not underqualified. They are underpromoted, undercredited, and underestimated. I could tell you a handful of women from all different backgrounds right now that I know that if you told them they can't do something, not only are they going to prove you wrong, they're going to prove you wrong and go a step further. Never underestimate a woman, because at the end of the day, a person that can carry the world on her shoulders, push out another human life, conform back to the body that she had, just to name a few, because we could be here all night talking about the different things that women can do. That's not somebody you want to underestimate. But we are done shrinking to fit outdated molds. We're done. If you are a woman listening to this podcast right now, I want you to say it with me. We are done fitting into what you see as the mold of a woman. We're done. Do what you need to do for you. Understand what you need, what you want, and what your children need. Because no one should be telling you what you're supposed to do as a woman. So as we wrap this, I want you to remember this. This isn't a trend. This is a revolution of remembering. Remembering that women have always led from behind the scenes, on the front lines, and in every quiet act of courage that never made headlines. And now we lead out loud. Next episode, we'll be talking about the imposter lie and how to crush it once and for all. In today's episode, we had fun. Not too much of a conversation because, of course, this is not a live episode, but we will be doing a live episode for, I think it's going to be episode 4 or 5. If today's episode did speak to you, share with the woman who needs to hear it. And don't forget to subscribe, like, and share, because the revolution is just getting started. Until next time, like the world is watching, I want you to remember, the world is watching.